Good morning and welcome to Little Swatara. I hope you're as excited as I am to be in the house of the Lord. It is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. If you were here last night, you know why I'm so excited, because we had a fantastic time at the Winter Carnival, and it was a wonderful, wonderful display of God's love, and just the excitement in that atmosphere was contagious. So men's breakfast. If you're a man in the house, put your hand in the air. All right, all of you. None of you left out. We want you at Dutch Way, 7 a.m. Everyone say 7 a.m. My favorite time of the day. This Saturday, men's breakfast, 7 a.m. Dutch Way. We would love to have you join us. We have our t-shirts. There's two placements of the logo, so we want you to determine where exactly we want to put those designs, and we want to get those ordered and get those delivered as soon as possible. Tonight, everyone say tonight. Triple J meets as a life group. There's a potluck meal. It's at the cafe at 6 o'clock tonight. We're following right along with the series We Are Church, and so we'd love to see you from 6 to 7, 7:30 at the cafe for a time of fellowship, a time of meal, and a time of sharing what's happening with prayer as we continue through this study. We want to say cheese. Everyone say cheese. Say cheese. Pictorial directory beginning next Sunday. We are going to have the computers outside of the door, so if you don't have a computer, you can get signed up for the pictorial directory. If there's people you know that aren't able to get here on a Sunday morning, be sure to advise us so we can get to them to get their pictures in that pictorial directory. But Denise Christ, where's Denise at? She's right there. Is our contact person. Her phone number's there. She loves getting calls, so make sure you call or text her and let her know. If you have any questions, in all seriousness, we want to get this pictorial directory under rule May 17th to 21st. So there'll be times set aside to get you guys signed up. On March 6th from 6 to 8 p.m., all generations. One of the most beautiful things about Little Swatara is we have all generations represented here. We want you all to come. You're invited to have a night of fun and fellowship with the youth who are sponsoring it, and Human Hungry Hippos. Whoa, that sounds amazing. Human Hungry Hippos, board games, cards. Bring your own games along. Everyone's welcome. Bring a dish to share or a snack. And let's gather together on March 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. in the fellowship hall. We also are looking for some volleyball players out there. Anyone like to play volleyball? Saturday, May 21st, Elizabethtown College, 10 a.m. till 4. And we would like to get a team from Little Swatara together. Rachel Graby is your contact. So let's try to get a team together and head to Elizabethtown College and hit, spike, jump, and do all those things that volleyball does. Sound good? All right. Easter flowers continue to be on sale. They come in amazing colors, yellow, white, or lavender, red, white, or pink. And their various prices, their sign-up sheets behind those double doors in the narthex area, as well as sign-ups to order your subs from the Women's Fellowship. Are there any other announcements you'd like to highlight this week? We are just so blessed and so glad to have you join us here this morning. We pray God's presence over each of you. If there's no other announcements, we invite you just to rise, to greet one another, and then we'll join in worship of our Lord as we sing, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship.
I was there at the foot of the cross with Jesus. How could I be anywhere else? My sheer devotion to him, it just overrode any fear that I logically should have had. You see, the first time I met Jesus, I was with my brother James, and we were aboard my father's Zebedee, his boat, and we were preparing our nets. And Jesus, he told us he would make us fishers of men. And instantly I felt this attraction to this man. An attraction I never felt before. I dropped my net and followed him that day. From that point on, I was utterly devoted to my Lord. We'd been through many exciting times. I believed he truly was the Son of God. I heard his teachings and actually witnessed his miracles. How could he be anyone else? And in that upper room that night, he tried to tell us what was to come. We just couldn't grasp that idea. Then, as I stood at the foot of that cross, you know, I finally saw some glimpses of that evening, of what he foretold us. And then he looked down at his mother and said, "Woman, behold your son." And then he looked directly at me and he said, "Behold your mother." And you know, from that moment on, I treated Mary as my very own mother. Even at the time of his greatest suffering, Jesus was thinking of others, not even of himself. Yeah, I truly was blessed by Jesus. Still a mystery to me why he chose me, but I never regretted that day, and never regretted following my Savior.
Day in and day out, we strive to be like Christ. And in order for us to strive to be like Christ, we need to center our prayers with one another and be able to come to the Lord praying for one another. And so we come to a time in our service where we invite you, as a microphone is passed around, passed around, to share in those joys and concerns that we may have. We do have a friend of Savannah Myers who we're requesting prayer for her. It's an aunt of her friend, Valerie Rose, and she has pancreatic cancer. And we just ask you to lift up Valerie in prayers, as Savannah texted and asked if we would be willing to do so. And she said, we know we can count on Little Swatara to be praying. So what an encouragement that is for us to know that we're prayer warriors, and may we continue to be so. Are there other joys or concerns we'd like to share this morning?
Continue to pray for Pete. He had to have his hip removed because it was grossly infected. So he has a PICC line in now, and for the next 6 weeks, every day he will be getting antibiotics through an IV. And then he'll wait 2 weeks, and if everything's okay, then they'll put a new hip back in. So just keep praying for him, please.
And that's Pete Sanchez. He's at Reading Hospital. He's in still room number 539. Okay, so Pete Sanchez, Reading Hospital, 539. He'd love for you to stop by and say a prayer with him, or just a visit with him. And the deer might be moving, so it's always good to ask at the front desk if he has a new room. Okay, so he may transition. We'll keep you updated through the prayer chain and email. So thank you. Yes.
I have two prayer requests. Our next-door neighbor's father, Ross Sponigal, passed away at the beginning of this week, so prayers for his family. And then my friend Charlotte DeCola, who I have brought up many, many times, is still having issues with her cancer. They're not sure if she should do more treatment or not. She got horribly, horribly ill from the last treatment without a lot of benefit. So she's in a big decision time and definitely asking for lots of prayer.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your unconditional love for your children. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer and we can be assured that our prayers are being heard. And Father, as we gather here this morning, we know there are many prayer concerns upon our heart, those that aren't even mentioned. And Father, we're lifting up those unspoken prayer requests in Jesus' name, that you would interact in those situations. You would bring healing. You would bring hope. You would bring restoration. And Father, we turn to you and we plead with you for our brothers and sisters that are facing uncertainty. We think of Charlotte this morning. We think of Jim. We think of Savannah's friend's Aunt Valerie. And we place them into your loving arms, asking, Lord, your healing touch, your guidance upon them, that they would know the next steps in their lives. But Father, we do come to you recognizing you as the master physician. For Father, we know that your son has healed many. He has restored many. And we're praying in that powerful name of Jesus Christ that if it be your will, you would bring healing to these individuals. We think of those recovering from surgeries, those that have a long road ahead of them. And we lift up our brother Pete and our sister Janelle and Deb and Robert and Roberta. And we pray, Lord, that you would go alongside them as they deal with the pain day in and day out of recovery. And we pray your peace to be in their lives. And Father, we pray for those that are dealing with long-term illnesses that are uncertain of what exactly their disease is. And we think of Jess this morning and just pray for wisdom. We thank you for modern medicine and just ask that you would continue to be with Jess this morning and continue to be with Catherine and Ken and with Ruth and with Jim and with Christine. We rejoice, Lord, with those that have been called to ministry, and we thank you for Dave Weiss from the early service and his call to Springfield. We pray your blessing upon his ministry, Lord. We thank you for all that you have given us in this life. And we pray, Lord, out of that thankfulness that we would live a life fully devoted to you. Father, you know where we struggle. You know where the enemy can easily attack. And we're praying, God, that you would protect us, that we would continue to put on the armor of God, and that when we face those difficulties in our families, in our marriages, in whatever situation there may be in our lives, Lord, that we would indeed turn to you and we would trust in you, Lord, knowing that you are a God that provides the necessary tools to get through those situations. So thank you, God, for being on our side, for fighting for us. And we pray, Lord, now as we come to you in silent prayer, that you would hear our prayers of confession. Lord, we know there's sin in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to forsake it, to turn from it, and to never to return to it in Jesus' name. And Father, we also pray those prayers on our heart. We think of those that have lost loved ones and think of the Russell Regal family. And we think of the families that have recently lost loved ones, Neil Stupp, and pray your comfort upon them. We think of Ross's death, Lord, and the family that has been left behind, and pray your peace and comfort for them as well. But now, Father, we turn to you in silent prayer and ask you to hear our confessions and personal prayers. Father, thank you for forgiveness through the cross. Thank you for this Lenten season to purposefully examine ourselves, though we should be doing that day in and day out as we come before you. So, Father, we thank you that we have forgiveness of sin. We thank you that we can be set free. And, Father, we're praying against the enemy's schemes. We know the persecution our Nigerian brothers and sisters are facing, and we pray that your love would go forth, that they would recognize you as their Lord and Savior, that there would be peace in Nigeria. But Father, protect them. Guard them with your angels. And we thank you for their witness to the world and to Church of the Brethren everywhere. Father, now we just turn to you as we continue to worship you this morning, that our hearts would be in tune with yours, that we would live our lives according to your plans. And it's in Jesus' most precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
It's a joy week in and week out to be able to consider the blessings that God has given us, specifically monetarily. And we now come to that time where we have prayed and we've asked God to guide us in our offering this morning. So we come to him in prayer asking him, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the abundance that you have given us. We pray now, Lord, that you would stir us, that you would move us to be a cheerful giver. For we know, Lord, your word tells us that you love a cheerful giver. And so, Lord, we don't give this morning out of obligation. We give because we rejoice and we find it a privilege and an honor to be able to give back a portion of what you have blessed us with. So, Father, be glorified in our offering this morning. May you continue to use it to further your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite all the children, come join me up front. As many of you know, the fox and the hen are natural enemies. You know all about the foxes?
I thought it was called the fox and the hound.
We're talking about the fox and the little red hen. Have any of you heard that story?
No.
No? In the story, Papa Fox sneaks around and he sneaks up right behind a little red hen. He grabs the little red hen and stuffs her in his bag to take home so he can have chicken dinner for supper. The little red hen, she remembered she has a sewing kit with her. Do you know what's in a sewing kit?
No.
No? What's in it? Needles, yes. And scissors. She used the scissors and cut a hole so she could escape from the bag. She escaped from the bag and she put a rock inside of it. Why would she put a rock in the bag?
Why?
That's right. So the fox thought she's still in there. She tricked that fox. You know that foxes are sly foxes. That's how they get their name. They're not very smart. So as soon as she escaped, she sewed that bag right back up and left and ran away before the fox woke back up. The Jack. Jack is probably in first service. In our Bible story today, a group of religious leaders went to Jesus and said to him, "Get away from here if you want to live. Herod Antipas wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox that I will keep on casting out demons and healing people today, tomorrow, and on the third day. I will accomplish my purpose, yes, today, tomorrow, and the next day. I must go about my business. It wouldn't be due for a prophet of God to be killed anywhere but in Jerusalem." Then Jesus went to compare himself to a hen. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones God's people. How often have I wanted to gather your children as hen protects her chicks underneath her wings? But you wouldn't let me." What a beautiful picture of Jesus. The fox couldn't defeat him. Like a mother hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings and protects him. How would God protect us underneath his wings? Do any of you know?
Uh-uh.
No? God would gather us up underneath his arms and care for us and love us and protect us from the devil. Sometimes we fall astray. Sometimes, but Jesus still loves us. He loves us all. He loves you. He loves you. He loves all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us and protecting us like a mother hen protects her chicks. Keep us near to you, and may we never fall astray from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Hello?
Sarah. Hey, what's up? It's Jesus.
Jesus?
Yeah.
Hey! How are you?
I'm good. Good, you know, just, holding all of the cosmos together. Same old, same old.
Right. Quite a big job you have there.
Yeah, well, you know. So, how are things with you? Good?
Yeah, things are good. Just busy. Been really busy.
Yeah, yeah. Stressed a little bit?
Yeah, I've just had this thing with work that's been so difficult. And just
yeah, that thing with Jen.
Right. How'd you know?
Sarah, I'm God, you know? The whole omniscience thing. I know everything.
Right, right. Well, then you must know that I've had this presentation coming up next week. Which I'm totally unprepared for.
Mm-hmm.
I've been like freaking out about it all week. And
mm-hmm.
actually, come to think of it, if there's any way you could step in and make me sound good, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. How about this? I promise I'll be right there with you the whole time. I won't leave your side.
Right, yes. That'd be great, Jesus. I want you there, no questions. It's just, I'd feel a little better if I knew you were gonna make it go over well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I did give some money to that homeless guy yesterday, so.
You mean Jimmy?
Right, Jimmy. I did give some money to Jimmy.
Right. I'm glad that you did that, but I gotta tell you, if you're thinking that that's gonna buy you some sort of spiritual favors or something, that's really not how this works. You know, I wanna be in relationship with you. I wanna be close to you. I wanna have intimacy with you.
I know. I'm sorry. It's just, I can't see you. And to be honest, it's not that easy to be in a relationship with someone invisible. You know?
Yes. I know, but I think the more you try it, the more you spend time with me and talk to me and listen, the easier it gets.
Yeah, I know. It's just with work and everything. It's a lot.
I know your work is important, and I'm really glad you're doing what you're doing. But just know that nothing in this life is going to give you as much peace and joy and fulfillment as I am.
I hear you.
I love you, Sarah, and I'm proud of you, and I want what's best for you.
Thanks, Jesus.
So, what do you think? Can we talk more often?
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Cool. Love you, Sarah.
Love you too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Can we even imagine? We're playing Candy Crush, the phone rings, it's an unknown caller, and for whatever reason, we decide to answer it, and it turns out to be Jesus on the other line. And dumbfounded, we're like, how are you? And then he asks how we are. We say we're quite busy and make small talk, and then before we know it, we're on to our laundry list of prayer requests. We start justifying the works we've done to have a certain prayer answered the way we would like. And then Jesus tells us he'll be there. As if that's not enough, we ask Jesus to do the work for us. It'd just go better if you do it for me. And this, my friends, is where we get a bit confused about the relational aspect of knowing Jesus. In many ways, we can say we don't see him firsthand, but we certainly can see him through others. Those acts of kindness, those encouraging words. He's very specific in Matthew 28:20. He's just given us the Great Commission, and if you remember from a few weeks ago, he goes on to say he will be with us always to the very end of the age. Now, friends, that's a comfort and a peace to know we're never forgotten, that we're never left alone. His presence is even nearer than we can begin to fathom. Yet time and time again, we question why prayer wasn't answered the way we'd like. I really want us to think about that for a second. Prayer is talking with God. It includes worship and meditation. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray with the aid of the Holy Spirit. And we offer requests through prayer that God will help someone in need. This is the facet of prayer that we call intercession. To pray in the most basic of terms is talking to God. Have we really thought about that? We can talk to God, the creator, the sustainer of the universe, the one with the power of his spoken word that said, "Let there be," and it was so. And not only was it so, he called it good. And then with the very breath of his mouth, a man in his likeness was made from the dust of the ground. But still no suitable helper was made, so he makes woman out of the man's rib. Friends, do we really fathom who we are able to talk to? The one who knows everything there is to know about anything. And yet, he opens the lines of communication for us to talk to him. This is huge. This is the greatest opportunity we have as being the church to make a difference. We often like to think of terms of the battle being between flesh and blood. But when we read scripture, we know that as Ephesians say, it's a battle in the spiritual realm. And what greater weaponry can we have than prayer? There's not anything we can't talk to God about. Sometimes we feel, though, we need to get it all together before we can approach him. Well, newsflash, friends, this is never going to happen. We're all sinners to varying degrees, but the good news this morning is we are only a prayer away from forgiveness. There's a part of us that still remains, like we need to work harder to get things right. But the point of prayer is that we're acknowledging that we are incapable of fulfilling our call on our own. And friends, we know we need God's help. Let's face it. Let's just get to the bottom line right away. If God doesn't act in our lives and in our church, we have absolutely no chance of doing what God has called us to do. This, my friends, is why prayer is an essential component of the Christian life. It's our lifeline. It's our steering wheel, as our sign said. It's the super glue that holds us together. God wants us to ask because he wants to help. Remember, he's the one that gave us this mission, and he delights in helping his children fulfill it. Have we ever considered for a single moment that when we question prayer, we doubt the existence of God? Life is going to be full of joys and concerns that can easily lead us to overwhelming anxiety. If we live and move and breathe, stress will happen. There's no doubt about it. It's like that baby who needs his diaper changed at the most inconvenient time. Those ants, those mice that find their way into our homes in the summer and winter months. Stress happens. But friends, it's how we handle it that matters the most. We live in the midst of a crazy world, and every one of us in some way is cast into the middle of it. There's so much to do, so much to be worried about. Can you even imagine what it would be like to go through life with perfect peace? Imagine not being stressed out about anything, but instead feeling the peace that comes through a confidence that everything is happening exactly as it should. John Bunyan had an incredible quote about prayer this week. And I want you to listen very closely to what it says. It reads, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until after you have prayed." Let me read that one more time. You can do more than pray after you have prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until after you have prayed. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. In the passage we're looking at today in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Paul is telling us not to be anxious. We all know anxiety is bad. We know what it does to our health, and we do what we can to avoid getting worked up over needless issues. But Paul is actually commanding us to put anxiety away. It's not just good advice for a healthy lifestyle. It's the way God intended us to live. So how? How do we avoid anxiety? Paul tells us the alternative to anxiety is trusting in God. As we continue to live out God's purposes for His church and accomplish the mission that Jesus has given us to go and make disciples, we will find ourselves totally surrendered and dependent on God. This task is far more than we could possibly hope to accomplish on our own. Yet God is calling us to pray for this very reason. It's all about actively depending on God in prayer. And He promises that when we do this, we experience God's perfect peace. Now, perhaps we think our prayer is too insignificant. It's too impossible to bring to the Lord. But God is calling us to bring every area of our lives to Him, no matter how small, no matter how great they appear. And sometimes we need this simple reminder that God doesn't fit into a neatly packaged box. We can't put limits on Him. We can't question whether our prayer is being heard. God longs to hear from us, to talk to us. He's given us full access and promises us peace in the midst of our difficult and trying situations. But how many times? How many times when the bottom falls out that we begin to fret, we begin to worry, we begin to wonder what we're going to do? And then it seems at a much, much later time we realize we need to talk to God. My heart's desire this morning for all of us is that when we begin sensing anything whatsoever out of the ordinary, we turn to God and we simply talk to Him. Maybe it's our health, our families, our marriages, our jobs, our finances, the relationships we have with others, the stress from caring for aging loved ones, the loss of income, the stress at work or at school. Friends, do yourself a favor. Turn to and trust in God. Talk to Him. Tell Him what's on our heart. He already knows what plagues our souls and causes many of us to lose sleep at night. He wants to help us. He longs to hear from His children. Now I invite you to turn with me to our passage today. If you have your Bible, it's always good to have the Word of God in front of you, but it will be here on the screen as well. We're in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And what I'd like us to do is read this aloud together. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Father God, we know what your word says. But some days we need that reminder that we can simply turn to you. We can talk to you. And we need to really let these verses sink in. So, Father, help us to know that there is peace in the midst of this turmoil that we face day in and day out. Amen. Now, we have to keep in mind that Paul is writing this letter from a Roman prison. Incredibly, his tone and teaching are filled with joy. When he writes to the believers in Philippi, he calls them to let go of their anxiety and rejoice in the Lord. I want us to take an inventory of our lives right now. What's happening? What's going on? Can we honestly say we're rejoicing if we have an anxiety at all? Paul, mind you, is chained to a guard in this prison cell. And he's giving us the reason for joy. Not only that, he's able to effectively share the gospel with those same guards. And he's reminding us this morning of some very, very important truths. One of which we've already heard, and it is trusting God through prayer. Again, God is calling us to let go of anxiety and voice our concerns to him. In the midst of our present difficulties, we'll experience a peace from God that's not going to make any sense. This peace isn't something mystical that we can attain through reciting prayers as a formula. It comes through actively trusting God to work in the midst of our circumstances. We can't mistake the fact that this is a constant and essential part of the Christian life. It's not merely a suggestion. We must really be doing this. Keep thinking about this as we commit to following Christ. We turn to his example of prayer in solitude. In this second week of Lent, as we just heard Abby teach in the children's moment, the religious leaders were telling Jesus to get away from here if he wants to live. Talk about stress. Yet he keeps going about his business. He goes on to state how often he'd like to gather his children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings. But friends, it all boils down to the very fact that we need to let him. The kind of love that he has for us will protect. It will demonstrate a deep care. And I can't even begin to imagine another love so deep and wide and so full of compassion and mercy and grace. It's in this example that we can purposefully turn to God's examples of prayer. Consider it when Jesus was facing the crowds. He was proclaiming the truth. They were getting a bit unsettled by what he said. They started to press in against him. Films such as the Gospel of John depict those against him with stones in their hands, ready to be thrown to kill him. But Jesus, we learn, retreated from the crowds. He'd go away, and often there we found him praying. If we never really thought of Jesus being stressed before, that fully human aspect of him would point to it in these times. We see it again in the garden when he prays for the cup to be taken, but not his will, but the Father's will be done. It's there, in that moment, that we begin to see the ultimate reflection of prayer. Three simple yet powerful words to be said every time we talk to God. Not my will. And friends, this is where we find ourselves troubled and bothered the most. This concept of praying, not my will, but yours be done, makes us a bit uneasy. What if he doesn't answer our prayer the way we expected? What if things get worse? What if he doesn't show up as we anticipated? That anxiety that we just brought to God in prayer, guess what? We just heightened it and we caused us even more undue stress. But when we think about it, we have a fairly accurate solution in our minds when we pray. And the last thing we want is for our will to be forsaken. And here's why. This means that we're surrendering our will to God's will. And that very fact terrifies us. Call it control. Call it what we feel is the best case scenario, but when we struggle to let go, to surrender, and attempt to align our wills with God's, we are keeping that situation to ourselves and not allowing the God of the universe to act on our behalf. Friends, it's so simple. We need to trust Him. Rather than acting on our own and bearing the weight of these concerns, Scripture teaches to ask God's will to work. Theologian B.F. Westcott informs us that at the heart of the biblical doctrine of prayer is the personal recognition and acceptance of the divine will. He goes on and says it's the true prayer, the prayer that must be answered. It follows that the hearing of prayer, which teaches obedience, is not so much the granting of a specific petition, which is assumed the petitioner to be the way to the end desired, but instead the assurance that what is granted does most effectively lead to the end. It goes back to Jesus' example. He knew that every detail of his life and passion contributed to the fulfillment of the work which he came to accomplish once and for all sinners in all places. We go about listening for God and looking for a sign that he is present and responding to our requests, though. And in a short time, as the room remains silent and still, we question God's hearing and doubt our prayers have reached even as high as the ceiling above us. And instead of communion with God, we feel worthlessness. We feel frustrated and we leave the room angry at God's perceived silence. Friends, what will it take? What will it take for us to build an active dependence on God? I think we all get the fact that anxiety is bad. But how many of us say that we bring every need and concern immediately to the Lord? Yet, this is exactly, precisely the way He wants us to work. God is the one being who is the only source of His own being. He has given existence to the world. All life and being came from Him. And there is no life or being apart from Him. He alone is the eternal one. All else is made by Him. He is the Lord over all. He reveals Himself through what He does and says. No other powers in the entire universe are equal to Him. The greatest example of this power and love is shown in Jesus Christ. And all that Christ did showed us what God is like. He defeated the enemy. He forgives sinners. No one can stop Him from doing what He plans to do. He knows all that can be known and is present now in all of creation. Not only is He eternal, but He completely relates to people. He's not at all limited by time and space. He's in control of all things. And for whatever reason, we have trouble trusting Him. All that God has done for His people, the promise of an eternal home in heaven, the deeds of God demonstrating His holiness and love, are more than enough reason to trust and to obey, to surrender and to let go, especially of anxiety. Let us pray that we will experience that perfect peace. Father, in no way do we understand Your ways, but Father, we know that You are a God of love. And when we don't understand those situations, Lord, we're praying that You would help us to. We pray, God, that You would guide us, that You would lead us, that You would direct us in Your paths, that we would begin to say, not our will, but Your will be done. And Father, we pray that we would align our will with Yours. For we know that you have a good and perfect and pleasing plan for each of us. And though you know each and every single one of us, you desire for us to talk to you. So God, I'm praying this week that we would take to heart this concept of letting go and surrendering and trusting you in everyday life. May you be given all glory and all honor and all praise. We actively pursue you, God. We desire to meet with you. Let your will be done in our lives and in this church and in this community. And it's in your Son's most precious, most holy name that we pray. Amen. Please turn with me in your hymnals to number 720 for a responsive reading. Number 720 begins with awe. Number 720. Listening God, you hear our prayers before we speak, yet welcome our praying. Therefore, we come with confidence to lay our requests before you. We pray for Christians everywhere, for our denomination and our congregation, for faithfulness and strength to persevere in righteousness. We pray for the whole people of God. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, for all leaders, and for those who make policy decisions. We pray for the commonwealth of our global community. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are overcome by violence, for victims of injustice or oppression, or for those in poverty or pain. We pray for all who need healing and peace. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who endure trials, for those who are dying, and for those who mourn. We pray for all who need comfort and hope. Lord, hear our prayer. You have heard the prayers of your people, O God. We rest in the comfort of your care, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.